Welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. Happy fall. Yeah, it's, you know, I am such a worrywart. I prepare for everything. And I'm noticing in the news, they're talking about this big Arctic air blast that's coming in from West Hell. I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from someplace. And that we need to prepare for all this cool and cold air. So, of course, I'm loading up on my wood. I'm loading up on my wine. And you'll find out about what kind of wine I'm loading up later on in the show. We have Brandon Allen. He is the CEO from Slow Down Wines. He's going to be our guest, and I'm going to be loaded on his stuff, too. We have a really good show today. And, you know, of course, everyone knows that whenever I do a show, a lot of times it's something that I'm researching or I am contemplating on doing. And our first guest, what a pleasant man. And I have to throw this out there at him, because when I first met him, and he may not even know this too, but when I first met Dr. Conley at his office at South Bowie Dental, he looked so young. But he didn't tell me he had an older son. So, yeah, he looked like, it's like, you sure you know what you're doing up in my teeth? But he looks so young, and his teeth are so gorgeous. They're so gorge. And, you know, when you see someone with great teeth, that you want them working on your teeth because, you know, you see somebody with some jacked up teeth. I don't want you touching my face, touching my mouth, taking pictures, really. Take pictures of your own face. So we have Dr. Conley's going to be joining us earlier, the first part of the show. He's going to be talking about, now get this, you can have your teeth straightened in 6 months. It's called 6 Month Smiles. How do I know? I had a consult with Dr. Conley, and I'm going to get my 6 Month smile as well. Well, maybe a little longer than 6 months, but I'm going to get it really short. It's not going to be like, you know, like 5 years and you still have braces in your teeth and your friends are still, like, when you take them out, they go, there's something different about you. Oh, you've lost the braces that you've had since birth. So Dr. Conley is going to tell us how we can get a gorge smile in as little as 6 months. And then, like I said, later on today, we're going to be joined by Brandon Allen. He is with Slow Down Wines. Now, get this. Some of the names of the wines is called Stand Out, Broken Dream Chardonnay, and my favorite is Sexual Chocolate. What part is my favorite? I'll let you guess. And later on in the show, we have coming all the way live from Williamsburg, Virginia. Now, I know a lot of people who are familiar with Williamsburg, Virginia. We know about the pottery. It's a great place to shop, buy really good stuff. You know, they have everything at the pottery. But Aga, and I'm not going to try to butcher her last name. I'm going to wait till she gets on the air. But Aga, she's from Poland, and she is going to talk to us about Williamsburg Salt Spa. It's a wonderful place where you can benefit. You get all the treatments. She's going to tell us, you know, where the salt came from. You know, they always saying salt is so bad for you. Well, this salt is not bad for you. This salt is good for you. And by the way, segue, I still use salt. I'm just saying so. And I checked my blood pressure, and it's normal. Welcome, Dr. Conley, to the Beauty Files.
Thank you for having me, Juanita.
Okay, so, doctor, let me pull out my list of questions. Can you really get your teeth straightened in only 6 months?
You absolutely can. Yeah, with 6 month smiles, I normally tell people it's between 4 to 9 months, and it's really possible. I've had people who have finished in as little as 4 months, and then some will take a little bit longer. All depends on what the issue is that you're trying to correct, but it definitely is possible.
So that goes to my next question. So who is a candidate? And I'll segue with this other question. Who cannot even try to get their teeth or think they can get this done in 6 months? And I'm thinking like a meth head or something like that who doesn't have any teeth in their mouth. But, you know, it's like, is there anyone who just cannot, you know, realistically, they come in, they go, hey, doc, I want to get my smile fixed. And you're honest enough to say, because you were honest enough with me, and you told me what I needed to get done and how long it's going to take.
Right.
But is there someone that is not a good candidate and they just cannot get it done in 6 months or 9 months?
Right. Yeah. There's some people whose teeth are just not positioned properly for functioning, where it's almost impossible to make the movements of those bigger teeth in the back, the molars, to try to correct that, to try to get them to in the right frame to actually chew and function properly. They're not candidates. People who have bad oral hygiene, they don't brush and floss regularly or properly, or have a lot of cavities, they're not good candidates, because if you're adding more stuff to people's teeth, it makes it harder for you to clean your teeth, and that's just not going to work out, because you'll have straight teeth, but then they'll be, you know, broken and need to be pulled or falling out and things like that. So there's a number of people who are not candidates, for sure.
Oh, wow. You are listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us a call if you have, if you're not shy, 1-888-627-6008. A number of you always send me tweets, or you send me emails at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com. But I would love to, if you can call, if you have a question for the doctor about 6 month smile. You know, you told me, you showed me the different options or whatever, and I was telling you about an experience that I had where a dentist told me that in order for me to get braces, I had to, you know, wear a full metal jacket. No, full mouth, a full mouth of metal. I don't know where that came. A full mouth of metal in my mouth, and I would, you know, just revert back to, like, I was 16 years old with pimples and everything. And a lot of women or a lot of men are now getting braces at the age of 50 and over, or 40 and over. They're getting older and older. Is that an option? I mean, we have to look forward to that, this whole full metal, mouth full of metal?
No, the beauty of 6 month smiles is that it's actually called a cosmetic braces system. Meaning that it still has brackets and wires, but the brackets, the wires, and the little donuts that hold the wires in are all tooth-colored. So it's very discreet as far as braces go. And within a common speaking distance, a lot of times people may not recognize that you even have braces on until they get, you know, right up into your face. So that's one of the things that's really significant about this, is that it's cosmetic in appearance. And then it also works quickly. So you kind of get a two-for-one value with this system.
So, I mean, does 6 month smile, will it damage your teeth or your gums or anything like that?
No, and actually, with 6 month smiles, the main difference between 6 month smiles and the conventional braces that you're used to seeing with the metal wires is the type of wire. I don't want to get too scientific here, but the normal braces have a stainless steel wire, mm-hmm. So when you go in for adjustments, you have to physically bend the wire to make the movements that you want the teeth to move in. With 6 month smiles, it uses a nickel titanium wire, and with that, the wire has a shape memory, and it's actually some of the stuff they use at NASA for the rocket ships and stuff like that.
Wow.
But the wire has a shape memory to it, so it's already preformed, and when you bend the wire, it goes back to that shape. So if you put the wire between teeth that are crooked and then you're allowing the wire to actively work, it's always actively working when you're awake, when you're asleep. And so it's quicker because it's always constantly working. So as long as you have the wire engaged in the brackets that are on the person's teeth, you're getting movement. And that's why it's faster than conventional braces.
So now, if I decide that I want to get the, they're called Invisalign. Are they still called Invisalign, or they're called something else?
Yeah, there's Invisalign. I also use ClearCorrect. There's a number of different
companies. Yeah, ClearCorrect, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Invisalign started in the whole trend of using trays to straighten teeth. And
right.
Then I guess once their patent ran out, other companies came on board and offered the same thing.
So if I use ClearCorrect, how long or how much will I need to have this in my mouth? Like, do I wake up? I mean, do I go to sleep with them on? Do I wake up? Do I wear a retainer? Because retainers are not sexy. But I'm just saying, but if I have to do it, I have to do it. But how long does a person have to keep that in, like, on a daily basis? And can you eat with it? You know, all these questions, doctor, all these questions.
Well, you know, our whole society is going more towards cosmetics, and you know, we're getting more vain all the way around.
Right.
So with these the clear aligners that Invisalign and ClearCorrect use, they are also when you put them in, they're really hard to notice that you have them in. So a lot of times you'll see people and they have them in, and you won't notice unless you're either, you know, right up on them or they take it out in front of you. So that's one good thing. And then you're supposed to wear those throughout the day, throughout the night, except if you're eating or drinking. So you need to take them out while you're eating or drinking. So they always say you want to be wearing them 23 and a half hours a day, because if you don't have those in, then they are not they're not actively moving your teeth. So you have to make sure you're wearing them.
So now, does it hurt? I mean, you know, because I always hear these horror stories about, again, back in the day when we used to get braces and, you know, Tommy's got to go to the dentist and get his braces tightened. And then when he comes out, he's crying and he doesn't want to eat anything. and it's like, give him some soft, give him something soft to eat. He'll sip it through a straw. So do we have to do that again? I mean, are we getting it tightened up where we can't even open our mouths when we leave your office and we're looking for some Vicodin?
No, and I don't have any Vicodin in my office. So.
Darn.
No, it's actually there's some discomfort, and that's only because there's pressure. But I haven't had anybody describe it to me as pain. With the 6 month smiles, like the first week, sometimes people have to get used to having extra material in their mouth, because they had the brackets which kind of poked their lips out a little bit, so that their lips used to feeling something against their teeth that's not normally there. And then after that, most people are pretty good to go. And then with the trays, typically you switch those out every 2 to 3 weeks. And so when you first put those in, they're a little tighter because your teeth have to move into the position that those trays are in. So normally the first week or a few days, there'll be some it'll feel like tightness or pressure, but not necessarily pain. I haven't had anybody describe it as pain or say, oh, I need to, you know, take some medication or prescribe me something for this. They always describe it as it feels weird, or I feel pressure or something like that.
But does it, like, change the way you talk or you know, because I know some people, I noticed that, I take that back. I saw a lady with Invisalign, and, you know, she just kept wanting everybody to know she had Invisalign. I mean, maybe she just wanted everybody to know she could afford to get it. I don't know, but, you know, it's like, you know, whatever helps you sleep. I mean, she was showing everybody her Invisalign, and she was, you know, kind of talking funny. So I'm just wondering if she was just doing that for show, or is that, you know, is that going to be an issue also?
No, it's the same thing with just adapting. Anytime you have something foreign in your mouth, your tongue and your cheeks and lips and all that kind of stuff, they're very curious, and so they always tend to go to that object or whatever's in your mouth. And so I always find whenever I do either braces or any type of thing that I'm adding something to somebody's mouth, you know, they're like, oh, I'm talking funny, and they'll have a lisp or something like that. And that'll go away after a few days because they get tired of playing with it. So a lot of the time, yeah, initially you will talk funny, but it's only because, you know, your tongue gets curious about what's in there, and it has to adapt to having something foreign in there.
Right. So you're running your tongue across your teeth all the time. It's
mm-hmm.
normal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because
I don't want people thinking I'm a salamander now, and it's like, okay, I'm just, I got something on my teeth. I mean, you know, it's like lashes, people. If you never wore eyelashes, I don't know, I'm talking about you, Dr. Conley, but if you wear lashes for the first time, and it looks like it's something foreign on your, and it looks like you're batting, like swatting flies or whatever, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I forgot they were on. So I'm thinking that's probably the same sensation. It's
mm-hmm.
just something that's new in your mouth that's helping your smile.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. I got an email from someone who said, what about insurance? Well, okay, you're right direct. What about insurance? Does insurance cover anything or does it not?
Hey, that's a very good question. Some insurances do cover a portion of the procedure, and some, I would say most do not. And I found that the ones that do cover a portion of the procedure will cover up to, I've seen, the highest I've seen is maybe up to $1,500 or $2,000
of
the procedure. So it varies. Most don't, but there are some that do cover a portion.
Because, I mean, this is considered, like you were saying, cosmetic or vanity insurance. And, you know, I don't know any insurance company that covers vanity. So I guess this is like a vanity insurance, elective that you want to look better. But what if your teeth, you have to get it done because, well, I don't know. Is there a scenario where you have to get braces because something it impacts or messes up the way you speak? I mean, would that be
mm-hmm.
I'm just grasping. I'm trying to figure out some way, a loophole here.
Yeah. There are situations where braces are needed. The weird thing about dental insurance is that even if you were to write them or call them and ask them, you know, have somebody write a letter and tell them that, they wouldn't care if it was not a benefit that they are already covering. So it wouldn't matter to them one way or another, which is very strange.
So
that's kind of where we are with dental insurance.
And I got another question for you, Doctor. Someone says, will they have to wear a retainer at night?
Yes. Yeah. One of the things that probably the majority of people that that are coming to me for the treatment are people that have had ortho braces treatment in the past as kids, and then they'll say, well, you know, my teeth have shifted, and you know, they may be in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and they had braces, you know, for years as a child, and then their teeth have shifted. But one thing that we've learned over the years is that it's very important to wear your retainers. And I always tell people that you want to, you know, be friends with those for life. You don't have to wear them every day for life, but you will want to, after the first, you know, year or so, periodically put them in to maintain or make sure your teeth are still in the same place without shifting.
Wow. You know, because I had dinner with a girlfriend. She was telling me she had braces as a kid. And you're right. She was saying something about she has to get something done because she should have kept wearing her retainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what a retainer looks like. And only thing I can think of is some movie that I saw where this guy had this big metal thing that was in front of his face and he was laying in bed. I don't even know what a retainer looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that? Yep. Is it that big metal, like the thing that just kind of loops up and around your head and... And you're just, you know.
But that's headgear. No, you don't want that. That's not going to do anything but make you look silly. Yeah. No, I wouldn't set you up like that. That'd be terrible.
Yeah, I guess you'd be setting me up bad. It's like, gee, I want to have a social life. If I have that in bed, it's like, I don't think so, sweetie. I think I'm going to let you go. Talk to you later.
Absolutely.
Well, what do they look like, Doctor? I mean,
yeah, most of the retainers now actually look like the trays that you use for Invisalign and Clear Correct. So they look like that. They're just a little thicker, just so they hold the teeth in place. But that's what most people who are doing braces now are using those as retainers, as opposed to using the retainers that have the metal on them.
Oh, wow. Dr. Stafford Conley of South Bowie Dental, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. And if anyone wants to get more information about your practice, how can they reach you, Doctor?
They can go to my website at www.southbowiedentist.com, or they can call me at my office, which is 301-218-2454.
Dr. Conley, thank you so much for talking about 6 months to a beautiful smile. And coming up next, we're going to be joined by Brandon Allen with Slow Down Wine. Slow down! It's going to be some great wine. Give us about 30 seconds, and we'll be right back. You are listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Welcome back to the Beauty Files with Juanita. You know, during the break, I was talking to my engineer. He's talking about great wine, and he had an excellent point making wine a food group, because Lord knows Mama loves good wine. welcome, Brandon Allen from Slow Down Wines.
Well, thank you very much.
You are amazing. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Thanks.
I love your wine. I love your I saw this YouTube video, had me cracking up about sexual chocolate in a threesome. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
That was hilarious. How did you get started making great wine like this?
Well, I guess first of all, when I started, it wasn't great wine. I mean, my first barrel of wine in my backyard when I was about 19, when I was a freshman in college. I grew up in Central California and I went to school there. And then made my first barrel when I was 19 years old. I just kind of fell in love with it. I wasn't really trying to become a winemaker. I was just trying to, you know, impress girls and get some free booze, and I just totally fell in love with it, and kind of, I guess, the rest is history, as they say.
Well, you would have impressed me if you making wine and bringing it to me. I'm like, okay, Brandon, what do you need, Bill? What do you need, Bill? Because you just made me some wine in your backyard to impress me, so we need to talk. And then you have these great names, Brandon. I mean, sexual chocolate, that is the one that I've tasted. It is so good. And people don't think of wine and chocolate together, because a lot of times they'll think wine and champagne or wine and something else. But this is such a delightful combination.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, you know, I started kind of as a young guy, really didn't have much experience with the wine industry. I mean, my parents never even drank wine. So for me, I was just trying to do something that was fun and different. And that's kind of why, you know, I name the wines the way that I do.
Right.
Just try to express myself through, you know, however I can, if it's even just like the marketing or branding side of it. Just trying to make it as less pretentious as possible, essentially. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, you know, as far as, like, the sexual chocolate and, I guess, the chocolate and wine thing, it's obviously, I don't know if you've seen the movie Coming to America with Eddie Murphy, but
right.
That's where I got the name for that from a Christian rock band called Sexual Chocolate. And,
exactly.
And, it was just a fun name, and I started calling it that about the third year I was making wine in college, and people just kind of fell in love with it, and it just stuck. So
how's your harvest? I mean, how many bottles how many bottles do you make per year? Is it on a yearly? Is it half year? You know, I'm just learning the whole wine business. I went to a vineyard the other day, and you know, was asking her questions that I can. Yeah, I said, well, let me ask you some questions so I can ask Brandon these questions about, you know, what you know, with the grapes, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just like the fact that it's fun, and you've made winemaking fun. And so I like the fun aspect of it. But again, is it like yearly? Is it bi-yearly? I mean, how do you harvest your wine?
We harvest grapes here in California once a year. We have one harvest every year. It's all always right after summer, you know, going into fall. So we get kind of one shot per year to make our wine. And it really, really changes according to the season. I mean, the season really affects, you know, the entire year, the whole growing season really affects the outcome of the wine. I make about, we're up to about 18,000 cases of wine, which when I started the company in 2008, I only made 93 cases. And so it's definitely, we've had some good growth. People seem to like, you know, the sort of the spirit of everything that we have coming out. And, we've had some really good support, and definitely shows like this or, you know, any type of press we can get always really helps, and definitely appreciate it. So I appreciate You have me so on and everything, so.
So any of your wines aged in barrels?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Pretty much all of the wine that I make sees at least a little bit of oak. The Sexual Chocolate, for instance, spends about 8 months. Most of it spends about 8 months. The wine in predominantly neutral oak barrels, which means the barrels have been used for about 3 years prior to, you know, they've been used about three times, so 3 years prior to when I put the wine into it, basically.
Right. So you know, it's just such a fascinating business. I mean, was it hard for you to like get in? You know, learn all the aspects of winemaking. I mean, are you in Napa or are you Sonoma? Where are you?
I'm in Napa. I'm located in Napa.
Oh.
And I work out of what's known as a custom crush facility, which is basically a co-op for wineries or small producers. And basically, I share a space with about, it changes, but anywhere from 15 to like 20 different wine producers. And I think, I mean, as far as learning and everything, I mean, I'm still learning. There's definitely tons and tons to learn. It's difficult like anything, but I think when you're passionate about something, you kind of just put time in and
right.
learn from small mistakes, or you're constantly trying to, you know, make whatever you're putting out better year after year, you know. So, and that's kind of where I am.
Well, let me ask you something, Brandon. What is one of your biggest mistakes in making wine? Like, what did you find, like, something that happened that you just went, oh, fudge? I mean, and I say a fudge. But did something, like, happen once and you just, like, you know, WTF?
shoot. I mean, in terms of, well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is it really has nothing to do with winemaking. I think probably the big... The biggest mistake I ever made was going into business with friends.
Coming
right out of college, and but I've learned, you know, I've learned from that, and you know, I think in terms of, you know, the actual winemaking, you just learn little things about just. I mean, when I was first starting out, you know, I had a tough time keeping everything, you know, totally clean 100% of the time, and that just it's not always in my nature. But now it's just been drilled into me, you know, by repetition, and it's just everything. You have to work in a completely sterile environment constantly, and I think that was definitely one thing. Like, especially when I was doing it, because I started out, like I said, in my backyard, and you don't really, you know, I mean, that's not the most, you know, sterile place to be producing
yeah,
wine.
Yeah, sterile. They figured the alcohol.
Yeah.
Will sterilize everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Alcohol
kills
everything.
That's exactly what that was my thoughts exactly. I don't know. You're constantly. I think you learn technique and you just sort of it just gets drilled in you. You know.
Now I got a question from someone sent me an email. A question for you, Brandon. There are two, and I'll ask this one later. Local places? Do you distribute locally, like in the Washington or Maryland, Virginia area? Because I'm in Virginia. I mean, I'm in Maryland. The show is broadcast
uh-huh.
out of California, and you're in Napa. So yeah, we are all over the place. They wanted to know if there was a and it is because I got it from here at a wine place in Maryland. And then the other question they wanted to ask is, you sound so young and so awesome. It must be great that you have such a great wine business. Tell me how I can get started. Okay, I guess they want to do wine
yeah.
in their backyard too. No.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want to impress
great,
the girls.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I don't blame them. I can't blame anybody.
I don't blame them either.
Right.
So I guess they want to know how they can get started. I guess they want to get started in the wine business.
I think, honestly, from what... Well, my little brother is a perfect example right now because he just started making wine about 2 years ago also. And what he's been doing, which is something I wish I could do and I had the time to do, is It's pretty easy to move out. Well, I don't know about financially or anything, but it's pretty easy to get a job working for a winery during harvest. And that's probably the first thing that you can do is just get a job, you know, cleaning tanks, or just, you're just basically at the bottom of the ladder in terms of, you know, what your daily tasks, and just come out to California and get a job at a winery during harvest. And what my little brother's been doing, he's been following harvest all over the world. So he's just getting ready to go to Australia to start their harvest, and he's been doing it for about 3 years now. And I mean, it's always amazing to me how much he learns, you know, each harvest that he does. So he can usually do at least two harvests a year, sometimes three, depending on kind of what's happening in each geographical region.
And do you have to do you think that you have to have like a degree or working knowledge of, you know, because a lot of people say that they know about wines, or they know about tasting wine and the smell and the swirl, you know, they're faking the funk basically and thinking that, you know, oh, I'm a swirler, you know, that's what they do. But is that hard to learn how to, you know, be a good wine connoisseur?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, it's kind of silly. I mean, anybody can be somewhat of a, you know, connoisseur. I mean, it's just whatever you like is good. I mean, that's all that really matters at the end of the day. People, I think, going to your question about getting a degree in winemaking, no, I don't think you need one. I mean, if you ever are trying to get a job as a winemaker for, you know, a big winery, then yeah, you're definitely, they're going to want you to have some kind of degree. But like, I didn't get a degree in winemaking. I majored in ag business.
Wow.
And, you know, I know several winemakers that didn't get a degree in winemaking. I think the biggest thing you can do, like I said, is just get your hands dirty. Even if you want to be a sommelier, I mean, a winemaker and sort of like a wine savant or like a wine sommelier, they're two completely different career paths.
Right,
but, like, even the somms, you know, they got to get their hands dirty too. I mean, it's just, even just getting in, the main thing that those guys do is just drink wine every day, you know, constantly drinking wine from different regions all over the world, you know, and they go out and they visit places, and the really good guys, they go out and they know exactly where the wines are coming from. And, it's pretty incredible, actually.
Wow.
Some of the knowledge that those guys have.
Yeah, because, you know, recently there was something that happened in California, in Napa. Was it a hurricane, tornado? What was it?
We had an earthquake. It wasn't we had a pretty substantial earthquake in American Canyon, which is basically Napa. I mean, it's the furthest south you can get in the Napa Valley.
Were you affected? I hope not.
I was, actually. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the main thing is nobody got hurt. And, you know, the earthquake happened at 3 in the morning, and, you know, our barrel room was pretty beat up. We lost a little bit of sexual chocolate. They're our 2013 vintage, which is unfortunate, but I mean, you know, I keep telling everybody, you know, it could be way worse. I could be making anything but booze. So, you know, I mean, that's just sort of... It's okay. I mean, we'll survive. Like, it's not, you know, it's not ideal. But like I said, I mean, if you could have seen, you know, my barrel room, each one of those barrels weighs about 800 pounds roughly. And it was just a disaster. And if anybody was in there, you know, it could have been really bad. So
exactly. So thank
thankfully
God
that there's didn't no one happen.
In there.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, the whole Napa Valley was really, really fortunate that, you know, there weren't any accidents or anything like that. It just happened so early in the morning that, it was fortunate. You know, everybody was pretty lucky.
You know, I went to Napa a couple of years ago, and I thoroughly enjoyed the whole experience. And it was like a different world out there, because it was like, if you're not in the wine business, or if you're not making wine or dealing wine or whatever, you shouldn't drive down that street. It was this one street that I drove down, and I just got out, and I just sat and just looked. It was the most beautiful sight of grapes.
Oh yeah, it really is. Yeah, especially during, you know, especially fall, right before harvest, you know, end of summer.
It was in September. I went in September because I went to Monterey for the Jazz Festival, so we drove down there.
Yeah, right before harvest. I mean, you drive, if you drive down Highway 29, it just it cuts, you know, right down Napa Valley. If you drive down, I mean, it's the most beautiful greens and I don't know, just, it really is very breathtaking. It's tough to, sometimes you take it for granted, you know, when you see it every day.
Yeah, and I was going to say, because you see it every day, but when I saw it, it took my breath away, where I actually had to stop, get out of the car, and just take pictures, because I had never seen something so beautiful over on this side. I mean, in the East Coast. I mean, we have our wineries or whatever, and, you know, we have really good wineries in Maryland and Virginia, but to go to Napa and to see that was the most spectacular thing I've ever seen.
Well, that's lucky for you, you're able to come see it, you know.
Yeah, and lucky for me, I have you on the show because you can talk about your wonderful wine. And before I let you go, Brandon, where can we get, I know you probably don't have a list of it now, and I should have, you know, and maybe I'll do that on the break. I'll go and see if I can find it. But your wine is distributed in the Washington region, right, Washington or the East Coast, correct?
Absolutely. If anybody wants any sort of specifics, I mean, they can just go on my website, and I have a list of accounts, or they can just email me directly. All my contact information is on there, my cell phone, email. But I mean, the major account. I don't have a list right in front of me. But I mean, you can always go to Whole Foods if there's one near you. And then, you know, I feel so bad. I don't have like a list of my sort of.
Oh no, no, because I'm going to do that on the
pop,
break. I'm
you know,
gonna
wine
look
shop.
It up too. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we have tons of wine shops in the DC area, Virginia, especially. I mean, my distributor out there does an incredible job. I mean, so yeah.
And you know what I love about you, Brandon, is that you're this, you know, and I'm going to say you're this big wine guy, and you took the time. I mean, when I say Brandon and I have been communicating, I had an issue last time he was going to be on the show, I had laryngitis, but he was so accommodating, he was so approachable, and you know, a lot of people in your position, I'm going to throw this out there, I'm not going to put no names on it, but they don't want to talk to like their public about their product, or they're so inaccessible that they don't want to give anybody time to talk about, you know, the love that you have. So I really appreciate you telling us about your wonderful wine, Standout, Broken Dream, Chardonnay, and Sexual Chocolate. I know I'm missing a couple more, and I want you to give everyone your website as well too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just slowdownwines.com. SLO. That's the acronym for San Luis Obispo. That's where I grew up, and that's where I started making wine. So it's kind of my ode to my hometown. SLODownwines.com. As far as, you know, being accessible and everything, I love to talk to people. That's one thing that I enjoy hearing people's stories, especially, you know, if they're drinking my wine. That's why I put my cell phone number on all my bottles of wine, and a lot of times, you know, I get probably about 10 or 15 calls a day from consumers all over the country, and, you know, people don't think that I'm going to answer, and I try to answer as often as I can, but it's always fun to hear, like, the surprise in people's voices when they, you know, don't get a robot on the other end.
Right, exactly.
An actual, like, human being.
And I think wine, I think Sexual Chocolate, Brandon, would be a really good wine for, like, a wedding. I like it. Like,
oh, yeah.
So, like when you eat the cake.
Well, I think it's a good wine for every day of the week, but I'm biased.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, did I say that? You know, I mean, I ain't going to come off as a wino, but yeah, you know, where's my glass now? Cheers.
Of course, cheers.
I think I'll pour some right now on the air. Now,
perfect. Do it.
and one more question before I let you go, because someone asked me this. They're asking me this on the email. What is Standout? I threw that out there, and people want to know what is Standout. What type of wine is Standout?
That's my brand new wine. I just released it about 3 months ago or so. It's sexual. If I was to compare it to Sexual Chocolate for a second, Sexual Chocolate is a very more new world stylistic that's built. Stylistically, as a new world wine, whereas Standout is probably a little more old world. It's a Bordeaux, pretty traditional Bordeaux style wine. It's Cab Merlot, 58% Cab, 42% Merlot. And, yeah, it's Sonoma and Dry Creek fruit. And it drinks almost a little more European even than Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate is a little more Californian. And, yeah. So that's my pitch.
That's your pitch, and you're sticking with it. And how would you describe Broken Dream Chardonnay? Your Chardonnay.
The Chardonnay is it's pretty balanced. It's not a traditional California style Chardonnay at all. A lot of California Chardonnays are a little more oaky,
right.
Or like very very oaky. There has been a trend in like the last, 5 to 8 years or so to make Chardonnays unoaked completely, so stainless. This Chardonnay is pretty balanced. It's right kind of in the middle. I use about 30% new French oak, and then the rest is stainless. Very light malolactic fermentation. So basically, you still get a little bit of weight on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little bit creamy, but finish is pretty bright and has really nice acid. So,
wow.
But again, I'm biased. So
that sounds amazing.
It does, right? See, I just
right.
I sold you on it. I sold you on it.
Yeah. Cheers. No.
Cheers.
Brandon Allen with Slow Down Wines. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Hey,
you have been such a delight.
Thank you
Such
for having
a delight.
Me.
I love your spirit. I love your passion for making wine.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And coming up next, we're going to be joined by Williamsburg Salt Spa. Talk about relaxation in a glass of Sexual Chocolate. Oh, my God. We'll be back on the other side. No, I'm not drinking on the air. We'll be back on the other side. You are listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us a few minutes. We'll be right back. You are listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Brandon Allen, what a great guy. Oh, my. I love his passion. I love how he talks about wine. And Doug and I were, during the break, we were just talking about he was telling us about the new wine that he has called Stand Out and the variations of the different grapes. I just can't wait to taste that, the brand new wine. And that was Slow Down Wine. slowdownwine.com. And earlier we had Dr. Conley, and you have his information. Let me make sure I have his correct number. Yeah, Dr. Conley at 301-218-2454 for your 6 month smiles. This has been such a great show. I'm great people with great stuff. And yeah. No, I'm not drinking wine, Doug, right now on the air. I know that's what you're thinking. clanking my glass. Cling! We're joined now by Aga. Aga is with Williamsburg Salt Spa, and I'm going to let her tell you her full name because I didn't want to butcher it up. She gave me permission to call her Aga. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Aga. Hello? Aga? Okay, this is where we didn't get Aga.
Some technical problem.
Oh, there you are. Hey, girl. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hello. I don't hear you
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes. Now I can hear you.
Oh, hey. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you? I'm so sorry. It was completely quiet for 30 seconds. I couldn't hear you at all.
No, we just attached that string to those two cans. So, yeah, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you very much for having me there.
So, now, Aga, I was telling everyone that, you know, I didn't want to butcher your name. So I want you to tell our audience what your name is, before, and then I'll just call you Aga.
Okay, that's fine, absolutely. My name is Agnieszka Drgała.
Okay,
I know it's one of those difficult Polish names.
One of those difficult Polish names, but a beautiful Polish name. So I never want to butcher a beautiful name, so I'll call you Aga. Tell us about the Williamsburg Salt Spa, because a lot of people don't even know that this even exists.
Definitely we are not a typical spa. We don't offer any facial, and you cannot have your nails to be done in our place. In 2008, we have imported over 15 tons of salt, 15 tons of therapeutic salt from Poland and from Himalayas. And we have created the gorgeous, handmade, man-made, one-of-the-kind salt cave inside the building. So we have gorgeous 400 square feet room. The salt is everywhere on the floor. We have huge salt racks on the walls. And we have three water features, which brings the impression of ocean breeze to the cave.
So, the environment sounds spectacular, but for those people who don't even know why this exists, why do you have a salt spa? I mean, why should we go to a salt spa? Because I'm reading up, and I didn't realize that this stuff did all this.
Actually, personally, because as you can easily hear, I wasn't born here. I'm originally from Poland, and we have the largest in the world underground rehabilitation center in Polish salt mine. Years ago, in 1843, one of the Polish doctors, he theorized that the air in the salt mine causes good healings for people with respiratory problems. And then due to history, due to World War II, of course, everything stopped, and it was revealed in the middle of the 60s. And as of today, we have regular treatments over there. The lake chamber is located 135 meters under the ground, and it can accommodate up to 60 people at the same time, and they just sit on the shore of the Brine Lake. Of course, they have always something to do. They have billiard, they have gym, they have tennis tables. But the idea is to spend all this time under the ground and breathe salty air.
Wow, and I'm looking at your website, and you have Polish and Himalayan salt, and you say it helps environment inside is perfect for people who have respiratory problems, asthma, allergies,
exactly.
COPD.
Exactly, it helps with all kinds of respiratory problems, allergies, asthma, bronchitis, COPD. But if you are a healthy person, this is absolutely great for you just to come here and relax and improve your immune system.
Wow.
Definitely, this is a place for everybody. We have people all ages coming. Our younger customer was 7 days old.
Oh!
So, yes, it was a little baby, little tiny baby. So definitely, this is a place for everybody. We offer separate sessions for children, separate sessions for adults. Of course, for adults, it's a quiet time. It's the time to take a nap, time to relax. For children, it's a playtime. It's like being on the beach. We have the toys, and they sit on the floor play with salt.
Oh, my God. And so now when you come out, okay, now this is going to be a really silly question, Aga, but when you come out of your salt spa, do we need to take a shower, or can we keep all that good stuff on us? And if I lick my hand, will it taste like salt?
Definitely you will be salty, but you don't need to change. You don't need to change. There is no steam involved. The humidity is below 50%, so it's great for people with asthma. Absolutely no, you are in perfect shape. You can go have a lunch with your friends. You can come back to work. We have some clients coming during the lunchtime just for 45 minutes, and they come back to work. No, you'll be in perfect shape. And, absolutely. Absolutely, it's very comfortable.
And how long is a session? Like, how much time should we allow for each session? And what do we do during the session? Do we just sit and relax and read a book?
Every session lasts 45 minutes.
Oh,
so it's a quiet time. We Basically, our idea was to keep all the personal belongings away. We don't want anybody to disturb you. We want you just to relax, close your eyes, and breathe. This is the entire idea, to breathe in salty air.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said that, Aga, about the you know, just being quiet or whatever, because the last thing I want on my therapeutic adventure of quietness is to hear a cell phone and people, you know, talking on a cell phone, especially when I'm trying to get the benefits of the whole experience. I mean, I just think I'm so glad that you said that, you know, I mean, do you tell people that they can't bring their cell phones in there? Hello? Ooh, Aga, you still there?
I lost you again. I don't hear you at all.
Can you hear me now? Hello? Oh, I think we have a technical difficulty, Dougie. Oh, because I can hear her, but I don't think she can hear me. Oh, okay. And while Doug is... getting Aga back online. What was I going to say? So, yeah, so the Salt Spa, it's located in Williamsburg, Virginia, and you know where Williamsburg is because, like I said in the early part of the show, it's where the pottery is. But the address, let me see if I can find the address because I was going to let her do it, but contact, where are you, Aga, in Williamsburg? She's at 1111 Old Colony Lane, and it's the Old Colony Professional Center in Williamsburg, Virginia. And their phone number is 757. I'm sorry? Oh. Okay. 757-229-1022 is the number. Again, that's 757-229-1022. And it's you want to email her, it's thesaltspa@gmail.com. Aga, I know we had some problems. I'm so sorry, sweetie. But before I let you go... I wanted, you know, the cost, because someone sent me an email and they wanted to know the cost of what, you know, a person needs to pay.
Mm-hmm. The general session for one adult is $25 for 45-minute session and $22.50 for senior or student. We also have rates for children, $15, and the little ones below three, they are for free. We also offer all kinds of packages because obviously most of our customers, they come back to us on a regular basis. They buy packages of 5 or 10 sessions. They are much discounted. We also offer membership. This way you pay one monthly fee and you can come every day for a session. That's the most beneficial because this is a natural treatment. So obviously many of our clients, they notice the difference in breathing right away. After one session, after 10 minutes, after 15 minutes sitting in there. But this is one of those natural treatments which is obviously ideal to repeat. People, they have their routine. They go to gym every day. They go to swimming pool. It's ideal to come to the spa once a week, every other week, once a month, but keep it as a routine.
That is so awesome. I mean, you know, and breathing in salt, because we're always hearing about the bad about salt, and it's so nice to hear that there's something beneficial that salt can do for our bodies.
And, you know, be honest, I think that everybody knows about the salt. And it's not about is it bad or good, because if you probably you remember your mom or your grandma telling you that if you cut yourself to wash your hands and apply some salt, it will heal much faster.
Right.
To clean your sore throat with salt water. It will help you to use saline to clean your nose if you have sinuses. So it is nothing new. People know about it. But I think it's just today's society is just so easy to take a pill that people don't think about alternative medicine and alternative health.
Right. Exactly. Because we're all automatically trying to find the quick fix. And this is a great fix because it's all natural.
Exactly. And I think if we can find 45 minutes a week just to come, relax, turn off your cell phone, turn off your iPad, and just breathe. Just take a 45 minutes a week and just breathe, and this will be the best benefit you can give yourself.
Aga, what will we be feeling when we come out of there after we've breathed for 45 minutes? What am I feeling like when I come out of there?
First of all, you will feel very relaxed. The environment is absolutely wonderful. Over there is beautiful, so obviously everybody comes very relaxed. For people with sinuses, mostly they could notice the difference right away. If they are congested, they can take a deep breath. It may be there's some coughing involved, but that's basically the good cough. Very often we just don't know how much pollutants are accumulated in our lungs, and that's what's coming out. You cough a little, and then after a few minutes, after a day or two, you can finally take a deep breath. It is all because salt clears everything. It goes deep into your lungs and clears everything.
Aga, you've been such a wonderful and a delight to have on the show. I've given everyone your address at the Williamsburg Salt Spa, and let me just, I'm making sure it's correct. It's 111-1111 Old Colony Lane, Old Colony Professional Center in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yes, it is.
And her number is 757-229-1022 if you want to learn more about the Williamsburg Salt Spa. Go to WilliamsburgSaltSpa.com and check her out. I'm planning a trip there because I want to experience that too. It sounds amazing. And I'm so glad that you were able to be a guest on my show today.
Oh, thank you very much. It was wonderful to be on your show, and I am so sorry about the connections problems. But
it was literally 1 minute. That was all, just 1 minute. And it's live. I love live because it all kind of stuff happens during a live radio show. So I love it. I love all the things that happen on a live show. It just makes me work harder. I don't mind. But thank you so much, and thank you everyone for listening to the Beauty Files with Juanita. I am Juanita. If you are in the Washington area, the Metropolitan Cooking Show is going on the 8th and the 9th. Bobby Flay and Guy Ferrari, they're going to be the top chefs that are there for the weekend. And it's an amazing show, and you can still buy tickets online at metropolitancookingshow.com. Until then, see you in a couple of weeks. You take care. Bye-bye.